Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you for your grace today, your mercy. We ask, Lord, that you give discernment, that you give faith unto the people that are about to go through a great tribulation. And we ask, Lord, that you bring to remembrance all things that you have said unto us to protect us from the threats of the enemy. And we thank you so much for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay. I'm going to refresh your mind with what's going on out there in the biological world. I'm doing this regularly on purpose. I feel like the Lord wants me to get as many people to understand the good news as possible before this thing hits. So I'm going to talk to you about what I believe is the year of the plague. And first I'm going to start with the bad news and end with the good news, because I'm hoping that's the thing that sticks with you the most, okay? I got a verse here that we got by faith at random a couple days ago. Does it sound like the latest plague to come into our country? Yes, it has come into our country. And that's the Ebola flesh-eating disease that bleeds from every opening in the body. Zechariah 14 and 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Well, you've seen the Ebola victims bleeding from the eyes and everywhere else, the mouth and everywhere else. And I thought maybe the Lord is saying to us that, you know, these people who have been against Jerusalem, against the bride, as John was told, that God is going to use this plague against enemies. And it's very easy, I think, for him to do. I mean, in Egypt, of course, he caused the plague to pass over the Israelites and take out the firstborn of every Egyptian. In other words, there was one in every house of the Egyptians. That's a massive amount of people. Don't know if it'll be that many, but I believe it'll be a lot. From everything that we've received. Well, the Lord said, judgment comes first to the house of God. And I believe that this is likely the year of the plague that God says he will use to take down the leadership of the faction in the church and in the state. And how crazy can they be, right? And also taking down the apostates. So I believe that this will come before spring. And this is also the year of deliverance and blessing for the righteous, as we've received in dreams. I believe the deep state will probably hit the high density Christian population areas the most, just like they do with the chemtrails and the diseases that they have brought. You'll notice that they have primed us with a lot of warnings, headlines, where the deep state warns of imminent global pandemic over and over, and disease X over and over and over, you know. The World Health Chief spread a lot of panic, warning of a global pandemic wipeout, and he called it imminent. I'll tell you, the deep state loves to warn everybody before they do something. They constantly do it, and I think they have laid a big foundation for this. That was Outbreak News. Here's one from The Sun. Global pandemic of mystery disease could wipe out humanity, top scientists warn. So now we have the top scientists. We have the World Health Chief and the top scientists and Zero Hedge, Bill Gates. His threat of a devastating global pandemic, very real. Zero Hedge. NewsTarget.com, global pandemic experts warning unstoppable because of the ease of travel. Well, of course, you know, they have to tell you, they have to lay the whole scenario out there, how it's going to come into the country, but that's not the truth. Yeah. But it is true that because of the ease of travel, diseases cannot stay in one place anywhere in the world, and they know that, and they know they're coming here, you know, and they're helping them to come here. And no doubt that all of this was a threat to this administration to back the white hats off, and it probably has made them very careful. And it's a threat to the people of the United States to prepare us for their vaccines. This is how they make a lot of money, with their vaccines, while they spread the disease. I recently shared with you a couple of articles from What Does It Mean about this mysterious disease spreading in pigs across the world, which this disease carries the ability to transmit many other diseases. One of them was a mysterious deadly virus rampaging across the world, censored by Facebook, shutting down website, warning of extinction level event. Why would they do that? Well, why would the deep state want to do that? Yeah. And another one from them was the U.S. prepares for after feared ancient virus that wiped out the woolly mammoths unleashes global pandemic. Okay. So I don't believe that they have just one plan. I believe they have plans and plans and maybe even a cocktail of diseases, you know, that they're going to spread, but they do want to hit America hard, and they do want to take down the Christians, and that's what the Lord has revealed to us. The biggest enemies of Christians are communists, Islam, you know, left-wingers, et cetera, et cetera. And these are all joined together now. And so we have a very large enemy out there. And Ebola is being spread to America now. The CDC planned to inject Americans with Ebola, live Ebola vaccine. And the CDC has the patent on the virus itself and also the vaccines. And the deep state stand to make an awful lot of money on the Ebola pandemic and the forced vaccines under martial law. So they'll force the vaccines. And this administration has plundered their finances, and they're desperately in need to continue their war against us. So this is going on. Wow. Let me just read to you a couple of articles before we get to the good news, you know. Here's one. Now, this is kind of rough because I haven't, you know, sat down and figured out what parts of these articles I will read. So I'm going to just read until I feel to stop here. This one is called Staged Ebola Pandemic Being Prepped for America, followed by Mandatory Ebola Vaccines Using Live Viral Strains. This is Outbreak News. This is articles by Mike Adams. An effort is underway right now to harvest Ebola-infected subjects from African nations, then transport them to the United States border and have them cross into the United States as human weapons, who will unleash Ebola on U.S. soil. This is part of the globalist effort to bring down the United States of America and cause chaos before the 2020 elections, while subjecting all Americans to medical martial law that demands mandatory Ebola vaccines, which just happen to contain live viruses, to further spread the outbreak. This effort is fully funded by both UN-linked organizations who have been running depopulation vaccine experiments on human subjects in Kenya, as well as the criminal CDC, which functions. You remember that one of the first things the president did is swoop in with planes on the CDC and carry out a whole bunch of stuff. It was an invasion of the CDC, which he considered an enemy, and which still is, as far as I know. So, as well as the criminal CDC, which functions as nothing more than a malicious propaganda front for the vaccine industry, as the independent media has been exhaustively covering, migrants from Ebola-infected African nations are being deliberately deposited in major U.S. cities, including Austin, Texas, where InfoWars reporters have conducted numerous interviews to discover shocking details about Ebola risk in Texas. Well, listen, they're bringing these folks in, who then, of course, have their relatives in, you think, and bringing who knows what, you know, if not that way across the border. And here's a notice, a video. Migrants from Ebola-stricken Congo marched through streets of San Antonio. Yeah. And African migrants swarmed Texas border from Ebola-infested Congo. Yes. And just last week, a 41-year-old woman from the Democratic Republic of the Congo illegally crossed the border while carrying Ebola. She was apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol, then proceeded to vomit and eventually die from what was labeled acute kidney failure, the most common organ failure among those who are infected with Ebola. The DRC is currently experiencing one of the largest Ebola outbreaks in history. Ebola can be carried by individuals who aren't yet killed by it, as this InfoWars article reports. CPB said the Congolese woman was vomiting and suffering from abdominal pain and renal replacement therapy, which is a therapy that replaces the normal blood filtering functions of the kidneys. And according to Reuters, people who survive Ebola virus infection face a dramatically higher risk of dying, probably from severe kidney damage, within a year of leaving the hospital. And by the way, I read somewhere else that there is a recurrence of Ebola, even from the people who have, they thought, cured of Ebola. There's been a recurrence popping up. So it's really nasty stuff. It's a bad way to die. The article goes on to say it's possible the Congolese woman's kidney damage came as a result of an Ebola infection she was ultimately cured of, but just 2 weeks ago, the first documented relapse of an Ebola patient was recorded. Well, they definitely said she had Ebola. I read two other articles on this. In early December, Congolese health authorities reported that a survivor in Malabako, North Kivu province, had fallen ill with the virus again. Reuters reported preliminary tests have since classified it as a relapse, the World Health Organization said in a weekly report. What's the purpose of this outbreak? To demand all Americans be injected with a deadly Ebola vaccine containing live Ebola viruses. It's all part of a coordinated CDC / FDA PSYOP false flag operation that's being ignited by sending human weapons into the USA to unleash Ebola and cause a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, this article was from January 2020. And then Brighton.com put out an article, and I believe it was, I don't know who covered it, but the CDC announced a plan to inject Americans with Ebola. Here's an article. See, the CDC owns the patent on Ebola viral strains. And can't wait to generate a windfall of profits from an engineered Ebola outbreak. So they profit from them while they spread Ebola. And I'll prove that to you in just a minute. Just remember that the CDC owns the patent on all Ebola vaccines. It's patent number CA2741523A1, and it was awarded in 2010, and you can view it here, this article says. And then reported by the Natural News in 2014, both the CDC and National Institutes of Health are among the key players in promoting the Ebola vaccine, while the CDC owns the patent on Ebola itself. And the NIH owns the patent on Ebola vaccines. As it turns out, the NIH has collaborated with the Vaccine Research Center, VRC, a division of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and Crucell, another vaccine developer, to commercialize an Ebola vaccine in the very near future. And this agreement dates back for more than a decade. I'm going to skip through some of this. Patent applicants are clearly described on the patent as including the government of the United States of America, as represented by the Secretary, Department of Health and Human Services, Center for Disease Control. The patent summary says the invention provides the isolated human Ebola virus, denoted as Bundibugyo, something like that. Anyway, I'm going to jump down to the government admits that the new Ebola vaccine contains live Ebola virus, not normal for a vaccine. If you are stricken with Ebola, the U.S. government can claim ownership over the viruses inside your body as justification to quarantine you or end your life for medical experiments. Mm-hmm. Note that since the CDC now owns all Ebola viral strains, according to the U.S. Patent Office, if you are stricken with Ebola and begin to replicate the Ebola genetic code in your own cells, you are now a criminal who is violating the CDC's intellectual property. You can then be arrested, quarantined, or even kidnapped or killed for medical experiments, etc., etc. Okay, I'm going to go to another one here. This is an Outbreak News article. CDC and FDA tag-teaming Ebola bioweapons, PSYOP, to push dangerous vaccines as part of an Ebola outbreak mass theater operation. The federal government is ramping up its Ebola propaganda campaign once again with a new announcement from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, about a newly released Ebola rapid diagnostics test, which just so happens to coincide with the release of a new Food and Drug Administration approved Ebola vaccine that the agency claims has a 100% effectiveness rate. But what is it effective in doing? My question is. In a minute, I'll show you what vaccines actually do. Just 3 days before this new Ebola vaccine was publicly announced, the CDC issued an Ebola health advisory urging healthcare providers that are interested in testing for Ebola virus in ill-returning travelers to isolate the patient and contact their state or local public health authorities for further instructions, which of course will include recommendations that the suspected Ebola patients be injected with the Ebola vaccines. Then you won't know which they died of, right? In tandem with the FDA, the CDC is urging healthcare providers to take an assessment of epidemiological risk factors for Ebola, as well as compile a clinical presentation and history as quick as possible in order to ensure patient care is not compromised. And wouldn't you know it, but the FDA is waiting in the wings with its brand spanking new Ebola vaccine that it's now urging these same healthcare providers to administer to their patients for public safety purposes. CDC is available to provide consultation, technical assistance, and confirmatory testing as necessary. This agency further announced about how it plans to tag team the FDA in ushering in awareness, also known as panic, about the alleged threat of an Ebola pandemic. Of course, the panic causes you to run to get the vaccine. If you don't already have the disease, you will then. The federal government has been bringing in potentially Ebola-infected refugees from the Congo and dispersing them throughout the country. But there's nothing to see here, folks. And it's true, they're spreading them throughout the country. It is our view that this is all being done in synchronization as part of a coordinated disinformation campaign. The federal government appears to be intentionally creating the conditions necessary for a future Ebola outbreak or a series of outbreaks to occur. And it now conveniently has all of the solutions ready and waiting, including diagnostic tests and Ebola vaccines. The ultimate goal here seems to be to create a major public health crisis in order to push mass vaccination with these new FDA-approved Ebola vaccines, the contents and side effects of which are currently unknown. After all, our own government was caught back in the summer importing migrants from the Congo into our country via Texas and sending them to the four corners of America, and the general public was none the wiser. And many of these migrants very well could have been infected with Ebola, though we'll never truly know since none of them were tested before being dispersed all across the country to unknown locations. And now the CDC and FDA are unveiling their vaccine cure just in time for what appears to be a planned epidemic. CDC says rapid diagnostic tests for Ebola may result in false positive results. Wow, that's a cover. But these so-called solutions are flawed at best, seeing as how the CDC itself openly admits that its new rapid diagnostic test for Ebola isn't necessarily accurate. Known as the Aura Quick Ebola Rapid Antigen Test, this test may result in false positive results, admits the CDC, though the agency is still pushing it in circumstances where none more sensitive molecular testing is not available. All right, let's see. We're going down here. Once again, it can't be stated enough that Ebola is a problem that never would have been a problem in the first place had the federal government not facilitated the bringing in of refugees from Ebola-stricken countries. Uh, One thing is clearly sure, our country's overlords surely are trying hard to make Ebola a problem. The stage is set, so to speak, for an eventual Ebola outbreak or two, and the government obviously plans to fearmonger the gullible public into accepting its remedy in the form of mass chemical injections, all for people's protection, of course. If the government really wanted to prevent Ebola crisis here in America, they never would have shipped the Congolese migrants into America. All right. Okay, I'm going to go to another one here. Now, this is how viruses spread the disease. This is a clear revelation. This is outbreak news. Whooping cough outbreak sweeps through Texas school with 100% vaccination rate, proving that vaccines don't work. Oh, but they do work. This is not a possibility that they had 100% vaccination and it sweeps through this individual school. Come on. That's absolute proof. And here's the article. It says, a Texas school that touts a 100% vaccination rate has been forced to close its doors and send students home after a whooping cough outbreak swept through the school, infecting students who were already vaccinated. Well, where did it come from? Well, the percentages say overwhelmingly it came from the vaccination. The incident proves yet again that vaccines don't work as advertised, but they do work, and that infectious disease outbreaks very often occur among children who are vaccinated. The simple, stunning realization contradicts all the false promises, fake science, and malicious propaganda of the vaccine industry, which absurdly insists that all vaccines work all the time and that no children are ever harmed by vaccines. On December the 4th, St. Teresa Catholic School in Memorial Park reported its first case to the Texas Department of State Health Services. Since then, the outbreak has continued to escalate, and not because of the abuse of religious and medical exemptions and so-called anti-vaxxer parents. You know, this is a Catholic school. They're not big on that. So that this is not the problem. It didn't go through the anti-vaxxers. You know, it went through. That's right, the vaccine. And according to Fox News report, the school vaccine uptake rate was 100%. Officials with the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston said 100% of students who attended St. Teresa Catholic School are vaccinated against the illness. And there's a document here proving that. They're 100% vaccinated. This is an open admission that vaccine propaganda is total bunk, pushed by malicious liars and propagandists who are placing the health of children and adults at risk by repeatedly representing vaccine safety and effectiveness. Now, if they can do it with whooping cough, they can do it with anything, right? They just make you panic, make you run to the vaccines. They all did, and they all got sick. All right. And if doctors are unsure why vaccinated children may still get the disease, it proves that doctors still don't understand why vaccines fail, which means their entire model of how vaccines work is broken and invalid. The entire realm of so-called vaccine science is, in fact, total quackery and fraud. The real science openly admits DTP vaccines actually spread infectious disease. This is Children Health Defense has detailed the failure of these vaccines by highlighting important new research revealing how vaccines actually spread infectious disease. These studies show that the pertussis whooping cough vaccine has now failed. Studies show that by 5 years after completion of the DTP series, children were up to 15 times more likely to acquire pertussis compared to the first year after the series. 15 times. And, of course, other people can catch it from them. that may have not been vaccinated. They can catch it from them. Okay. California schools are now suffering a pertussis outbreak. 3,455 cases in 2018 compared to 14 measles cases affecting primary vaccinated children. Yes, you can read that correctly. After receiving the DTP vaccines, children are up to 15 times more likely to be infected with pertussis. And, of course, the children around them who may not have been vaccinated can catch it, too, from them, from the vaccines, secondhand. And if vaccines protect children from infectious disease, how can it be that children who are vaccinated show up at an increased risk of infection? Answer, because the vaccines are spreading the disease, of course, from the study itself. And then they give a study here which proves it, you know. More recent studies show that by 5 years after completion of a DTP series, children were up to 15 times more likely to acquire pertussis compared to the first year after the series. Studies have also documented rapid decline in pertussis antibodies within a few as 2 or 3 years of the most recent AP vaccination, often to pre-vaccination levels. And although antibody levels alone are not necessarily indicative of waning immunity, in this case, given the higher risk of infection after AP vaccine with time, it is strongly suggestive of it. Yep. Yeah, I would say so. I say it's unlikely. And here's another study cited by the CHD that also admits the vaccines are spreading the infections. There it is right there. You know, I'll put this on the text so that you can go and read these things if you want. It's criminal. It's just criminal. Vaccine is a fraud. It doesn't work. That's this article. Those who question vaccine propaganda are censored or silenced. Yes, they are. The criminal deep state is behind it. Here's one evidence mouse that plague outbreak in Africa is an engineered depopulation bioweapon. That was by Mike Adams in 2017. Thousands of people have been infected, over 143, that was 2017, are now reported dead in the plague outbreak that's now threatening Africa. That was back then, okay, so, and are unsure of how this year's outbreak began, reports the paper. Experts warn the disease spreads quicker in heavily populated areas, where, of course, they get to vaccinate everybody. It is interesting that just as Prince William is calling for urgent depopulation efforts in Africa, we suddenly have the rapid spread of the plague from unknown origins, as Natural News reported. Prince William appears to be pushing for depopulation efforts across Africa in the name of environmentalism. Oh, yes, save the environment, kill the people. Okay. Africa's rapidly growing human population is predicted to more than double by 2050, a staggering increase of 3.5 million people per month, Prince William explained during a recent event hosted by the Tusk Trust, a charity that is committed to protecting American wildlife. Okay, so you see. And here's another article. Want to eliminate blacks? Just release a weaponized disease strain and blame Mother Nature. Yep. It's wow. You know, it's just wow. Okay, what? So, you know, I mean, I'm not reading all these articles, but I'll send you the links to them. But I just want to tell you that we are promised protection from the deadly pestilence. In Psalm 91, 3, 5, and 6, for he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And the Hebrew word for pestilence here means an epidemic disease. However, in verse 10, the word plague, which we would normally equate with a pestilence, is not just restricted to an epidemic. Because there are other things that the Bible is calling plagues, you know, judgments that came on the Hebrews in Egypt. They were all called plagues, you know. But it does include that. The Hebrew word for plague means a blow or to smite. And it's most often used, of course, to talk about a pandemic, right? Verse 10 says, "There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent." Notice in this verse that if we are in a secret place, we are not under the plagues or the judgments of God. They are judgments of God. If you please Him and walk by faith and repent of your sins, it's very likely He will not put that judgment on you. The plague that He sent across Egypt to take out the firstborn of the Egyptians and totally miss the Israelites is a proof of His ability to control all plagues. Even though He might use a vessel of dishonor to spread it, like the deep state, He is still in control of it. It was a vessel of dishonor that passed through the skies that spread the plague in the first place, right? And this is witnessed also in Exodus 12 and 13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." When I smite the land of Egypt. You know, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, the Bible says. America and its Christianity is a disgrace to the world. And there is a judgment, I believe, that's going to take out some of the worst of the worst in order to make a better representation here for God. In this text, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, delivers us from all plagues, quote unquote. The judgments that God brought upon Egypt were all called plagues. And there were conditions for this wonderful benefit. Verses 9 and 10. "Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water." This is the lamb. "But roast with fire, its head with its legs and with its inwards thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning." Now we know from 1 Corinthians 5 that Jesus was the Passover lamb. And He's already been sacrificed for us. Okay. So if He's the Passover lamb, why does it tell you must eat the head, the legs, and the inwards thereof, and let nothing of it remain until the morning? "But that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire." In other words, we should partake of all of the lamb, who is Jesus, and that includes all of His head, which is His mind, His doctrine, His thinking, the Word of God, the promises of God, right? And that includes all of His legs, which is His walk, representing His walk. In other words, not just read the Word be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, but to be a doer of the Word. For to be in Him, we must walk as He walked. 1 John 2, 3 through 6 says, and Hebrews 10, 26 warns us, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. So there are people out there that know what the Word says, but they're willfully disobedient of the Word. And they think they're covered by the blood because of foolish preachers that say such things, which is totally contrary to the Word, as you can see. And these preachers are, of course, going to be guilty of the blood of the saints because they did not tell them the truth, that if you sin willfully, there is a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. And you should see here that the sacrifice will not protect those walking in rebellion, only those in ignorance or failure. Okay? Because the Bible does cover that, you know. Failure is one thing. Willful disobedience is quite another. God doesn't put up with willful disobedience. You shouldn't end your children. But failure, yes, you're very merciful with that. And so is God. You should see here that the sacrifice won't protect these people. When David sinned with Bathsheba, the Lord put away his sin. And when he repented, but the sword did not depart from his house. In other words, because it was a willful, knowledgeable disobedience, he had to pay the penalty. In other words, the sacrifice would not protect him from the penalty of his sin. And all of the lamb also includes all of his inwards, which is the inward man of the heart, who is filled with his spirit, Ephesians 3:16-17. So, to sum this up, for the Christian to receive deliverance from the plagues, he should believe in this doctrine. Walk as the Bible disciples would, and receive God's Spirit, and not a religious spirit. And another main condition here, which is closely related, is in Exodus 12:7, and they shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel and upon the houses wherein they shall eat it. First, you should see that the Israelites were the ones who applied the blood. You apply the blood, in other words. Israelites, of course, are the Old Testament church, which is a type and a shadow, according to Paul, of the New Testament church. So, yes, these things apply. So 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk, who applies the blood? We do. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, that is the light of his word, you don't know all of it, you have to walk through it, you know, as he is in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. A really good deal. The light here is the word of God. And it's not just religion. I mean, religion has totally backslidden from the word of God. And God is angry about that. And God is sending judgment about that because these people claim Christianity and it is not Christianity. So the blood cleanses us through walking, that's the legs, in the Word. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises in what? The Word. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. All defilement of flesh and spirit. Perfecting holiness, which means separation. Separation from sin and its curse, so on and so forth. In the fear of God. So, you see, the cleansing of the blood is applied through the Word. In 1 John 2:1-11, Jesus did his first sign. He had the servants, representing ministers, the same word, fill the six, man's number, clay, man's nature, pots, vessels, man's vessel, with water, which is the Word. Ephesians 5:26. And then he turned it into wine, which is the blood of Jesus. According to him, he said that's what it represented in Matthew 26:27-28. Why is it that many of God's people do not escape the plagues of this world? Well, it's rebellion and unbelief against the light of the word. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed. That's like plagues, right? For lack of knowledge, which is the word, right? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, that is the word, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. If he said that back then, when they were so studious to know the word of God and to pass it on, and scribes recreated it and passed it on, so on and so forth. What about today, when people don't even read the word and claim that they're getting from their preachers everything that they need or think that they are? And the fact is, we're going to see that that's not true. And he goes on to say, I will forget thy children. I'll read that again. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You want to protect your children? Get into the word. Get your children into the word. Children have great faith, by the way. They believe that word when the parents don't. We're in a battle for our lives against the principalities and the powers, Ephesians 6 and 2, 12, excuse me. And most of God's people refuse to put on the armor of God, which is verses 13 through 17. And notice that the armor must be put on by you, by faith in the word of God. Otherwise, the forces of darkness will take you out. The devil is a good lawyer. He knows the word. And the word, by the way, gives him his rights. Know the word so that you can stand on your rights. And it's the blood of the Lamb, right? Saints, get prepared. I believe that we have a short time, maybe even not even a couple of months. Before this thing goes through, you need to educate yourself. You need to be full of the word. The reason I repeat this ever so often is I want it to be fresh in your mind, and I want you to do something with it. You know, as far as getting the word out to your friends and neighbors and so on, and your children, et cetera, et cetera. Relatives, people that you love, and anybody and everybody, get the word out to them that there is a protection, that there is a provision for them. And it is the secret place of the Most High. Let me read that to you again here. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And who's going to hurt you under there, right? I will say of the Lord. Here's where faith comes in. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Man, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you realize that Jesus is called the high priest of your confession, meaning He has a sacrifice of your lips that He presents before the Father as high priest? So he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And now, you don't have to quote the word to agree with it, but if you agree with it, the Lord is offering that as a sacrifice before the Father, who then gives it to the holy angels, who are administrators of your salvation, which is deliverance and healing and so on, as we have proved very well in the word. Read our book, The Real Good News. You will find out salvation is much bigger than the religions say. And they're guilty of the blood of the saints for this. So, I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Confess that you trust in Him. God will give you the faith. 91:3, for he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. There it is, clear, clear. We know the snare of the fowler. We know the people that are laying the trap already. It's very clear. It's all out there. And the Lord will deliver you from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His is a truth, shield, and buckler. Notice that. Your protection. The Lord will be your protection. He is your refuge. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Fear, of course, invites infection from any plague. It invites it. It absorbs it. Fear is actually faith. It's faith in the devil. It's faith in the curse. It's faith that the Word of God is not so. That's what it is. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, you shall not fear. Remember, do not fear. If you're in willful disobedience, fear. Because there is a certain fearful expectation of judgment. If you're disobeying the Word of God and you know what it says, you will die. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Don't fear the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Fear is your enemy. Fear is a demon spirit who is sent forth by the devil to take you out. He knows the conditions of the covenant, and it's all by faith. He knows if he can make you fear, you will not live through this situation, right? You must avoid fear. You must rebuke it as though it is a spirit, because it is a spirit. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That's what he said. Psalm 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, what's the chances of this? What is the chances? This is the Word of God. It has a perfect numeric pattern in it. The design is totally by God. No man can even do that numeric pattern. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The chances are nil, if you're talking chances. We're talking certainty. 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Yep, you will see the evidence of it laying all around you. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge, and thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Look at the confession there. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge, and here's God's answer. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. So how do you get in the secret place of the Most High? There it is. You believe it and confess it. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Very clear, right? There shall no evil befall thee, no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. You should get Psalm 91 and read it to yourself. The soldiers used to have a card that they passed around. It was Psalm 91. There were actually large groups of soldiers that read those in the morning, and they escaped during the war when other companies were taken down just from confessing God's word. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That is, if you believe that no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Mm-hmm. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That is, the angels. And one angel in the Bible killed 185,000 enemy soldiers who were encamped around about the bride, Jerusalem. In one night, they're gone. Woke up dead. Mm-hmm. 91:13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. And because he has set his love upon me. How does the Bible say in so many times, in so many places, and how did Jesus himself say that if you love me, you will keep my commandments? There you go. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Now, name in both the Hebrew and the Greek of the Bible means nature, character, and authority. There are many out there, especially the religions, who have another Jesus. He believes totally different from the Bible. He does not help you. He does not heal you or deliver you, even though the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, for, and forever. They believe that, so they believe contrary to his name. His nature, his character, and his authority. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's his name. That's his nature. And he still does that today. We must come to him humbly, believing his word, confessing his word, thanking him for his word, repenting of our willful disobediences, etc., etc. And 91:15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Oh, wow. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Notice he's talking about salvation here. Salvation from a plague all the way through here. Salvation does include salvation of the body. You know. So, at least as long as you're in it. So God is our secret place. The Word of God is our secret place. You can't separate God from his Word. His Word is his nature, character, and authority. Right? Well, Father, we ask, Lord, that everyone out there, under the sound of my voice, will pay close attention, will get prepared for this thing, get their families prepared for this thing. And obviously they need to draw close to the Lord, confess all sins, because this is how you get rid of them. Confess them to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then confess the promises. Once you've confessed the sins, confess the promises. Psalm 91 is great. Exodus 12 is great. You know. Thank you, Father, for your provision for us. And that you abide in us, as you say in 1 John 2 and 24. He said, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Forget your religion. Which you heard from the beginning. That's the word of God. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, we must believe what Jesus and the apostles gave to us in the beginning in order to be in the secret place. The traditions of men will not save us. Apostle Paul said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this, Lord, and we thank you for your blessings, your provision, your love, and your care for us. And also, we ask, Lord, that you bless Michael Hare and the brethren that are going to be listening to him, and we ask that this go into their hearts and recreate Christ in them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, saints. God bless you and keep you. We appreciate you so much. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.